A look at the news near your neighborhood. The Fairfield University Graduate and Professional Studies around the region. Now on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We've got a legislative session going on right now and certainly a lot of local matters that matter to you. But we also have a big election year coming up. It's not just a gubernatorial election. State reps and state senators who want to fight for your vote to be able to represent you up in Hartford whenever there are major decisions like what's going on right now are happening. And so we are excited to meet Tony Lombardi today. Tony is running for state representative in the 118th district representing Milford. Tony, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, Tony. And for people who don't know you, so like you and I have not met in person, but I know you. I know you. I live in Milford. I'm very familiar with you. But talk to people about sort of your story, your background, and what has gotten you into politics.
Sure, absolutely. So again, thank you so much for having me. I'm a Milford resident. I'm a mom of two, and my two children attend our public schools. During the day, I'm a school secretary for one of our public schools. And I'm also an alderman. So every day I'm working with constituents. I'm delivering real results for them. And I'm also working with our families. I got involved in politics, I want to say 6-7 years ago, as a legislative intern, actually, in Hartford. So I've been in that building. I've returned multiple times as a staffer, where I worked as a committee clerk for the Aging Committee. I was also a legislative aide to a couple of our state representatives. And I've also been involved in politics, running campaigns for the last several years as well.
I would love, I mean, so Tony, first of all, you've got, if I remember correctly, you said, I know you have two kids. They're younger though, right?
Yes. My son's 11, so he is a sixth grader. And then my daughter's four. She actually attends our Ready to Learn program at one of our schools.
Wow. You're a beast. I think it's incredible. In the fact that you work also at the schools and the board, why do you care? And that sounds like a really crass question, but you know, when you're raising it, and look, I've got a 7-year-old who's in the Milford Public School Districts. So I get this question actually a lot when it comes to local news, like Melissa, why do you care? I ask you that, you know, why do you care? I mean, you're raising kids, you already at the local level are certainly making an impact, I would think. So why care enough to now go to the state level?
Absolutely. So like you said, and like I mentioned, I have two young kids and I look at them every day. I'm sure you do as a mom too. And you wonder what their future is going to be like. You wonder if this world is going to be okay for them, if they're going to be able to afford to live here, if they're going to be able to have a successful future, if they're going to be struggling through everything later on in life. I speak with residents every day and I do pride myself as an alderman to getting back to people within minutes of an email or a phone call. And everybody is at a point where they're scared. They're scared about the affordability crisis that we're in. They're scared of what's going to happen next, you know, in our country, in our state, and in our small city. And so I care so deeply about people and about how to protect them and how to fight for them, because I want to make sure everybody is living in a place where they're happy and they can thrive. I don't want our constituents here to have to worry and stress about where their next meal is coming from, or if they're going to eat, or if they're going to pay their gas bill. I'm personally a working class family myself. My husband and I work, and in some years we work multiple jobs in order to make things work for our family. So I really understand deeply the issues that are facing our families here in Milford.
And again, we have Tony Lombardi here, and she wants to represent Milford up in Hartford. She's running as a state representative for the 118th district. And Tony, I'm going to go to a little bit of an uncomfortable place, but okay. I think it's necessary. Don't worry. I promise you. Just giving you a little preface, though. So when your name came up, one of the reasons that I knew you news-wise, and I don't think it was you. Well, I know it wasn't you. But there was a lot of tension around at the time you were looking to fill as the Democratic nominee for a vacant seat on the Board of Aldermen. Obviously, you are now on the Board of Aldermen.
Yes.
But That got really nasty in Milford. Again, it was never coming from you. I remember seeing your testimonials. I remember seeing you. And I thought, this woman is so poised and so classy and incredible. Really, truly. And honestly, my producer can attest to that. I'm like, this girl's awesome. I want to know her. So I remember you. However, it was during that nomination that I believe at first it was rejected. There was a lot of drama in Milford around this. And again, I felt you handled yourself with a lot of class and poise. However, things got very nasty. It got very political in Milford. There was a lot of division around this. And I didn't know sort of, you know, what you take from that example and how you can kind of apply it to really Connecticut. I mean, I think there is still, unfortunately, a lot of division. And I think you bring an essence that's like, hey, you know, we're all kind of fighting for the same common goal. We just have different avenues of doing it, and we don't need to name call and all of that, right? So how do you bring that to the office?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something that I really prided myself on when I was running last year. I would knock on a door, and, you know, we knocked on hundreds of doors last year, and we do have a system that kind of tells us, you know, this person is a Democrat or a Republican and gives us a little bit of information about them. And I would knock on a door, and sometimes I was met with somebody who said, you're wonderful, and I'm going to vote for you, but sometimes I wasn't. And in those situations, and when I was met with somebody who was very against the Democratic Party, my response to them was, well, I hope to represent you. Here's my business card. And at the end of the day, I want to be accessible to you as a neighbor. Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, is community values. We are looking out for each other. We need to make sure that we're taking care of each other. My parents raised me in a way where kindness is the center of everything, and it's something that I really instill in my children, especially my son. And so I want to make sure I'm in a position where I'm helping people. Last year, when things got a bit contentious, I was, again, greeted at the doors by some people who said, oh, I'm voting for you, absolutely. I've heard about this political drama that's happening, this political theater that's happening. But I was also met with people who were not fans of mine, and that's okay. At the end of the day, if you need a cup of sugar and you live down the street from me, I'm still going to give it to you, regardless of your political leanings, regardless of if we agree or if we see eye to eye. At the end of the day, it's not my goal to convince you to agree with my political ideology. It's my job to represent you and to make sure that you're heard and you're taken care of.
We are focused on local elections, including state representative and state Senate seats in November of this year, not just a gubernatorial election, huge elections. And these things matter. We talk about this all the time, the importance of showing up to vote, but also knowing the candidates before you go to the polls, and not just a D or an R next to their name, but who they are and what they want to do for your communities. We're talking to Tony Lombardi right now, who is running for state representative in the 118th district representing Milford. And Tony, again, thank you so much for giving us the time, especially this early. I appreciate it.
thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. I want to look at this. And again, I know you are a mom. I know that you're on the board of aldermen. I know that you have, obviously, you know, work as well during the day. But what has been, just in general, standing out to you during this current legislative session? I don't know if you're tracking what's going on up there, but what has been standing out to you so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got so many great bills that are in the process in Hartford, you know, things that have to do with our ECS formula and our education, things that have to do with easing the cost easing the affordability crisis that we're in for working families. Some things that I would personally want to focus on in the next legislative cycle, especially with next year being a budget year, I would want to introduce legislation to lower energy costs for our families. We really need relief on energy costs. Our families are getting crushed by electric bills, by gas bills, by the rise of oil costs. Additionally, I'd want to work on tax relief for working families and for seniors. The 118th is it's wonderfully diverse in the age spectrum of our constituents here. We've got a lot of working families that live closer to our schools, but we also have a lot of seniors that really built up this community. And I'd want to make sure that we're taking care of them in Hartford and bringing back some dollars for them. And like I mentioned, education, and I'm a school secretary by day. So post-COVID, we had a lot of our students really struggling with their mental health. And I'd want to do whatever I can to increase mental health funding for our students and really fully fund our schools, make sure our staff and our students are taken care of every day.
Yeah, you mentioned the ECS funding, Tony, and I don't know what, if anything, will consistently be put into ECS. I know that's been something I've been really focused on because it does have a direct correlation, not just on our schools, but our school budgets and certainly our property taxes, and it hasn't been touched since 2013. And I know that both sides have kind of been talking about the entire time affordability and in what way to approach it. And I know ECS funding has been something that we're focused on, but I don't know if I've seen yet that there's going to be consistent money put into that to bring us up to a sustainable level, because we're off the mark. And I think Milford is a great example of that, where we have seen budget cuts from the education level pretty consecutively, pretty consistently. And it's been really devastating.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate this year that the Board of Finance did not cut any of our education funding, and it is going to the Board of Aldermen later this month, where I will be voting in favor of the education budget. But we're very fortunate that we have an administration right now with Mayor Smith and with our Board of Finance, with the Board of Aldermen, that really see education as such a central point of our city. Personally, we moved here because of the education. I wanted to make sure my kids had the best education they possibly could, so we moved to Milford. When it comes to the ECS formula, like you said, it hasn't been increased since 2013, and that's really dire. I've seen so many different versions of legislation come out of Hartford, and a couple of priority bills that, you know, have kind of been tackling this issue. And one of the concepts, I went to a kind of workshop around it, and one of the concepts had mentioned that a specific idea would end up bringing $1 million back into Milford. And unfortunately, this isn't the legislation that's moving forward right now. It is something that I would plan to fight for next year. But $1 million extra a year in Milford would have saved our budget over the last several years worth of cuts.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, Tony, that you had mentioned before was bringing our electric bills down, our energy costs, certainly. How would you like to attack it? Because as you've probably seen year after year, Hartford can't agree on how to do that. And the biggest probably issue that people have seen are the public benefits. And I was encouraged when I talked to Governor Lamont at the beginning of this session, because I had said to him, can we at least compromise in line item the public benefits section of our bills? Because it's a huge portion of why our bills are so high. And there's a lot of initiatives in there, and not all of them are bad, but there are some that I told him logically don't make sense right now. You know, he had paused, for example, going forward with an electric vehicle mandate because President Trump was voted into office and he doesn't align with that. And so he said, you know, Connecticut's going to take a pause on that for 4 years. And I said, however, Governor, you're allowing our public benefits to still put money into that. And why not at least for the 4 years give that financial relief? Like, I understand that there's one side that feels we can't move the public benefits. The other side feels otherwise. But I didn't know what your thoughts were on, you know, lowering electric bills. How exactly would you like to see that done?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to our electric costs, like I said, they're rising constantly. When it comes to the public benefits charge, that's something that we would really need to come together on as an issue. We would really need to come together on as a legislature. I know that goes back to years and years ago with power plants and the plants that they put in years and years ago that we're now feeling the effects of years later. And that's why it's so incredibly important to legislate in a way that makes sense down the road. We're unfortunately feeling effects of still 6 years later, COVID and COVID benefits. And even before then, like I said, the power plants and what ended up happening with the legislation over a decade ago that was passed. So it's so incredibly important to put people in positions that know what they're doing, can really hit the ground running from day one and understand the long-term ramifications of the decisions that they're making.
If there was conversation on a bipartisan basis to do something with the public benefits, would you be in favor of that?
Yeah, I'm absolutely in favor of talking through anything and kind of seeing all ideas come to a table. Like I said, my job is to represent my constituents. And so every day before, you know, I go vote on anything, even on the Board of Aldermen, I'm listening to what matters to them and I'm their voice. So if I'm hearing overwhelmingly about an issue, it's my job to vote and represent the people and to inform them. So if something's going to happen, it's my job to come back and let them know, hey, this is what's going on. What's your opinion? Personally, in my campaign, we're going to be starting community conversations and coffee chat hours, and because I want to get these issues in front of people, I want to hear what matters most to them, so I'm representing them even better.
And I think I know the answer just based on how you handled kind of, again, going back to what happened last year in Milford. I think I know how you would handle it, but I obviously would rather hear it from you because I don't want to speak for you. But there have been instances this session where even some local Democrats have said we've gone too far. I look at like a Representative Steinberg, for example, in Westport, who couldn't vote for that 121-page omnibus bill earlier this session because he said this is not an emergency certification. We are going too far because we're a supermajority. And I'm wondering if it's an appropriate question to ask, but like what kind of a Democrat I guess you would be? Because again, I know that's a weird question to ask, but I guess are you willing to push back on your party if you feel it's not actually serving your constituents in Milford? I guess is the best way I can ask that question, because it's probably one of the biggest reasons people will hold back on voting Democratic because we have such a supermajority. But the same goes for the other side. There are people who hold back voting for a Connecticut Republican because they have an R and immediately they think, oh, well, you're just a Trumper. So, you know, I ask this question of both sides whenever I, you know, whenever I talk to politicians. But I guess that's what I would ask is kind of what kind of a Connecticut Democrat would you say you are? Are you willing to push back on your party if it's not right for your constituents?
I am the type of Connecticut Democrat that really believes in the representative portion of things. So, like I mentioned, I want to poll my people. I want to have these open conversations, these dialogues. I want to take all the information that I'm getting, the emails, the phone calls, the text messages, and really compile data. And I want to be a data-driven representative. So I want to represent their best interests. I want to represent what they want to see. I want to make sure that I'm listening more than anything.
Tony Lombardi, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time. Again, running for state representative in the 118th district representing Milford. Good luck. I'm sure we're going to be talking again soon. But thank you so much for giving us the time today on WICC.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.